do desire and interest in your prayers this afternoon, and do appreciate the prayer that's already been offered and the good song service and the blessing of just being here. The Lord has truly been good to this one who stands before you. I can't praise him enough for all that he's done for me and all of his mercy and grace and goodness that's been shown to me in my life. I know that all of you feel the same way today, and here to thank the Lord and to bless his holy name and to praise him for all his mercy and goodness and grace that have been shown to us. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you just one short verse this afternoon, found in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. I'd like to read in your hearing verse 44. Matthew 13 and verse 44. Please again, just pray for me that the Lord would bless us as we look together at this particular passage. Teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ in the 13th chapter of Matthew, he speaks in parables to his disciples and to those that had gathered to hear him. And the 44th verse is a little short parable, just one verse long. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." The lesson here is certainly focused and centered on the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. Read in a Roman letter that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but is righteousness and joy and peace and the Holy Ghost. And I believe as we have met here this afternoon at the Church of the Living God, at the house of God, and this is, I believe, the pillar and ground of the truth. I believe it's the place that the Lord has provided and put his name here in this world. An assembly of believers that meet to worship God, to give our God the honor and the praise and the glory, and to walk in a way that the Bible instructs us that we're to live in this world, to shine as a light, as a city set on a hill, a light that cannot be hid. As long as we're alive and living in this world, that's our duty and our responsibility. And when we come together in this capacity and we meet like this, and when we worship the Lord, where he is truly our King, where he is our head, where he is the one we're looking to, the one we're listening for, the one we're leaning on, we're meeting together in his kingdom, in a kingdom that he has given us right here in this world that we can enjoy, in a place of fellowship that truly is joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And what a blessing it is if the Lord has allowed you that sweet privilege at any time in your life to be able to gather in such a way. The scripture here speaks, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field." Now, the treasure that you and I would believe you would consider the Church of the Living God a treasure. I do believe that. Know all of you pretty much that have gathered here today, I believe you love the Lord's church. "I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode." I believe you understand that the beauty of the church, the beauty of the bride is the husband, that the beauty of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. That the church is made up of members, and members in particular. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. And that's the work of God that has called us out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light, and even the work of God that has led us to come this way. We've not gone this way on our own. We didn't come to it through our intellect or through our wisdom or anything that we could really see, even from the outside or the inside, as we would gather in a church assembly. It says, "Again, the treasure of heaven, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field." Now, I love that little hymn we sing, 402. There's a little old church that I love so well. That hymn talks about the things that the Bible teaches that the church ought to be doing. It's It's here we gather to pray. Many people would walk by this little assembly this afternoon and look in and see all that's on the inside. They'd look at our building, they'd look at our gathering together, they'd look at even this little body of believers and think, my oh my, they sure not up to date. They're sure missing a whole lot of what ought to be going on. If that's supposed to be an assembly of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a whole lot of things that they're not doing that they believe we ought to be doing, and a whole lot of things we don't have that they think we ought to have, and a whole lot of things we're not engaged in that they think we ought to be engaged in, and a whole lot of things they think many of them, I'll just be honest with you, many of them would just simply feel sorry for this little bunch of old folks in their minds, or even young folks, maybe one or two, that have gathered to be with us here today. I remember when I first came into the church and I was 25 years old and gathered together with the church, and I had seen it in its beauty. And I'd just fallen in love with the fellowship of the believers and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thought so much about it that I thought just everybody I knew that I'd ever known that loved anything about the Lord would just love it. That if I could just convince them to come with me, if I could just convince them to visit, if I could get them there one time, they'd never leave. Because, see, I'd found a place when I came that was so appealing to me, I didn't want to leave anymore. I found home. And I thought everybody else would see that. Invited some of my family to come, and I thought, well, boy, once they see this, I know they're all going to understand what I've seen and what they've been missing and what they don't have and what we have. And I say that all knowing that if without the Lord, we'd have nothing. Can I say to you, and you know this, without the Lord, we're poor and we're miserable and we're blind and we're naked. But with the Lord, we have gold tried in the fire. We have eye salve for our blindness. We have clothing for our nakedness. We have all that we stand in need of in the Lord's church and in the design that He's given it and the beauty that she is and the clothing that He's adorned His bride in and all that He's made us accepted in the Beloved. There's a beauty in the true church and in the practice of the church and in the ordinances of the church and the doctrine of the church that you can't get from anywhere else but Him. I thought once they come and see this, boy, they would all just, well, the house is going to overflow. I remember Daddy talking about it so much, he said he put a set of baptism clothes in the back of his car because he knew that everywhere he went, y'all may have heard him preach this, but he said he knew everywhere he went, all he had to do was share this truth and folks were going to come flowing. And he kept those clothes in there a long time, a long time. Because it's not seen and can't be seen by all. It's not seen. I brought some with me and I said, oh, look at this wonderful place. And they said, well, all I see is quite a few old people. It seems like y'all don't have too many young people. And, you know, it was the first time I'd ever seen those dear brothers and sisters that I knew back then. Most of those that I was the closest to were in their 80s. And you know, I never thought, and I was 25, I never thought, well, there was no difference. I wasn't concerned about the age. You know, they back then, and some of you will remember this, they used to talk about it being a generation gap. You know, you don't hear about that too much anymore, but there was a great generation gap, and there was a big difference between older folks and younger folks, and there was a generation gap. Now I'm among the older. I'm on the other side of that. But the generation gap and how you had to have something different for those young folks. I'm telling you what I found then. It fit my appetite. It fit. I had friends and fellowship, and I never thought about an age difference. I never thought about them being. They didn't act old. You know why? Because when it was time to go to meeting, it didn't matter where it was. Here across town or 100 miles away, they'd get in the car and go with you, and they'd stay all day and stay just as long and love that which they heard, and we talked about the same things, we loved the same things, and all of it centered around the Lord Jesus and what He had done for His people. And what a blessing it's been over the years. Some of those dear ones, many of them, most of them here have gone on to a kingdom, to a home that's awaiting in glory, that will not have any problems or troubles or heartaches, and not have any questions about this and about that, not have any disturbances, but rather in the very presence of the Lord, and they're there in their at this moment, they're there in their soul and they're there in their spirit. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one day that same Lord is going to come, and He's going to come in the power of Almighty God, and He's going to come with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and there's going to be a sound made that's going to be heard, and the dead in Christ are going to rise in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and there's going to be a reuniting of the body and the soul and the spirit. And then we'll meet the Lord. Those who are alive and remain, that could be today. Those who are alive and remain will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we'll gather in what I think will be just a one long, big church service forever. Somebody say, what are you going to do in heaven? I'll tell you what the angels are doing in heaven. They're praying and singing. They're praising and singing glory to Almighty God. And I'll tell you what God's little children are doing in heaven. They're praising and giving glory to Almighty God. And what are we going to do in heaven? We're going to praise Him and give glory to Him. And I'm telling you, the happiest times of my life on this earth have been when I've been able to gather with a portion of His people and be active in praising and honoring and giving Him glory in His church here below. And this says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure, and it's been a treasure to me. Has it been a treasure to you? I ask you, has it been a treasure? Yeah, it's been a treasure. And it's hid. It's hid. It's hid in this world. Now, the field, I believe, we see from the scripture an identity of His church. In other words, what does the Lord's church look like? What should be in the Lord's church? What should it have? What should it not have? Some people would say, you need to have this. And if you add this, it's going to take away. You know why? Because it's not what the Word says. The Word is what tells us what should be in His church. And that little hymn talks about, we pray. There we kneel to pray. Then it also talks about, is there we come and sing the songs of Zion's Hill. Isn't singing great and wonderful? You know why singing ought to be in the Lord's church? It's because the Word of God says for us to sing with melody and make melody in our hearts, praises unto the Lord. And then we have the preaching of the gospel. We have the gospel message, which testifies of the Savior and what He really did in saving His people from their sins. Listen, the beauty of the church isn't how the old folks are, how young folks are, or how many people you have, or what color skin they have, or any of those things. The beauty of the church is the testimony of the church, and that is the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that message is what we preach. That message ought to be what we sing. That message is what we believe. That message ought to affect how we live and how we walk and how we think and how we act and how we treat one another. That message permeates everything, and that is what makes that is the beauty of the Lord's church. We have David saying over in the 27th Psalm, the language of the 27th Psalm in the 4th verse, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." I'm saying, what's the value of coming to church? What's the value of singing the song? We sang most of those songs we sang today last Sunday. And I say, if we probably come next Sunday, we'll probably sing a lot of them again, don't you think? You know, people would say, I get tired of those old songs. Don't y'all get tired of those old songs? I don't get tired of them, do you? I'll not get tired of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I won't get tired of "Amazing Grace." I won't get tired of "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." I won't get tired of "Just As I Am Without One Plea." I won't get tired of those songs that that are coming from the testimony of God's Word. And even though the words, sometimes the words are straight from the book, but and they are the best ones, by the way. You know, the best songs we sing are those that are straight from the book. And the others have the same message and the same testimony as the Word of God. This treasure is hid in the field. How do we know what to believe? How do we know what to practice? How do we know what's right and what's wrong? Listen, God's little children ought to know that this Word is our authority. This Bible is our authority for both faith and practice. Jesus, again and again in His ministry, said what? He said, "It is written." I often have thought that. I know you've heard me say this before. You're about to hear me say it again. Jesus could have said anything and it would have had just as much authority as anything that was written. Y'all believe that, don't you? You see, when Jesus said in the beginning, "Let there be light," He wasn't making a request. He was making a command. And guess what? The light came on. He created the light. Jesus speaks, and they said, "There's never a man that spake like this man." You know why? Because His words were with power and with authority. And everything Jesus said, no matter what it was, those things He had the power not only to speak those things, but He had the power to carry out those things that He had spoken. That's why you can count on everything that's ever come out of the mouth of the Son of God as having full authority. But Jesus said, "It is written." The reason He said "it is written" is that you and I might have confidence in that which is written. We have a more, the Apostle Paul wrote it this way, we have a more sure word of prophecy than even hearing the voice from heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He says, yes, that was a testimony, and that they were eyewitnesses of His majesty, and they saw that He had the approval of His Father. But listen, there's also in the Bible a more sure word of prophecy because it's written by inspiration of God and given to us. And so when you want to see the beauty of the church, and you want to see what the church ought to be doing and practicing and be involved in, you come to God's Word. This treasure is hid in a field. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field. Now, not everybody who reads the Bible sees it. Not everybody is blessed to understand it. As a matter of fact, the smarter you get, the dumber you are. Well, let me say it, that may not be. The dumber you become, in the sense of it's hidden from, and this is His words, it was His good pleasure, the Father's good pleasure, to do what? To hide these things from whom? The wise and prudent, and reveal them unto whom? Babes. That's why He said, "He that is the least among you is the greatest." As He set that little child before Him and taught them, as His disciples had been questioning, "Who is the greatest?" And He called them out on that and asked them what they had been talking about on the way. And they had to respond and responded, "Who is the greatest among the disciples?" And He answered them this way. He had a little child to come and He said, "Unless you be converted and come as this little child, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven." He wasn't talking about how people got to heaven in immortal glory. But I'm telling you, He's talking about how you and I have fellowship with Him while we're here in this world. You know what was the beauty of that I saw when I was 25? It wasn't just to say, those people, most of them are gone. But I'm telling you, the same fellowship that I had then, I have today. The same communion, the same relationships, the same communication, that we're still singing the same old hymns. And I'm not just talking about that particular hymn. Sometimes we've sung them over the years a little faster. Sometimes we've sung them a little slower. Some people get hung up on whether you're singing fast or slow or high or low. I'm telling you, it doesn't really matter about those natural things. That's not what we're even talking about. It's talking about giving honor and praise and glory to God and singing from the heart, singing praises unto God, and singing with understanding so that I know when I say, "Amazing grace," I'm not just saying a bunch of words that fit some tune, but I'm really thanking the Lord for His amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. And the message is the message of the cross. Listen, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What is it that the preachers preached back then that they preach today? Was that salvation was of the Lord. That's why that sound doesn't get old. That your salvation isn't in what you did for God. You see, others have added a whole lot of things that said, you got to do this and you got to do that. The Lord's done all He can do. He's tried His very best to save you. And He's done all His part. And now if you'll just do this and you do that, what He did will be effective for you. And listen, what we understand is what men have always done is sin and come short of the glory of God. And if there was anything that I had to do in my part and to add to my salvation, I'd be in trouble, and so would you. A good message that meant so much to me, because I'd been wrapped up in a works doctrine. I didn't think I was in a works doctrine. I thought I believed in grace. It's amazing today how many people think they believe in grace, but when you get right down to it, they're still in works. You see, if you got all the grace in the world and you add one work to it, it ceases to be grace. It's no longer grace. It becomes works. Grace, what's wonderful about grace is it's that which Jesus has done for us. And grace isn't a go-to-sleep, do-nothing doctrine. Grace is what wakes you up. Grace is what takes you from being dead in sin to alive in Christ. Grace is what motivates you on the inside, not to do something on the outside to clean it up, but something's work has been done on the inside, and therefore you have a desire and a hunger and a burden in you to live better and act better and talk better. You don't get away with it when you live any old way. Is that the way it is with you? Well, I believe then the Lord's blessed you to be able to see something special that not everybody gets to see and not everybody gets to understand. First of all, He says this treasure is hid in a field. When you read this book, many people read this book and they think it's a book of fables. There are many people who said, I've read the Bible cover to cover. I didn't see anything special in it. I'm telling you, the more I read it, the more special it becomes. How about you? The more I study it, the more it fits together. The Lord blesses me to see, the more I see I don't know. And the more I want to know, the more I learn, the more I want to learn. And it gives me a hunger and an appetite. The more I'm in it, when I get away from it, then I get a little cold and dull and may not have that hunger. But the more I'm in it, that means the more I hear preaching, the more I want to hear preaching. The more I get to sing, the more I want to sing. The more I have fellowship with my brethren and I'm able to communicate with them and love them, the more I want to be at this place. It gets me where I can't hardly stand other crowds. When I'm in a crowd, I want to hug everybody. You get to doing that in the world, they'll run you off pretty quick. That's too intimate. And there are some people who get a little concerned when they come even and visit among us. They don't like that closeness. You get too close. Listen, one thing we know about all of us, right? As I'm a sinner and you're a sinner, and there's no hope for me and there's no hope for you, and I can't help you and you can't help me, but we got an elder brother who has done the work for us, who died for us, who loved us so much that as a great shepherd of the sheep, He wasn't willing to let one of the little sheep that would wander astray go astray, but He came to seek and save that which was lost. And we believe that He came to save His people from their sins, and He did that. He didn't try to do it. He didn't want to do it. He did it. And I want to meet at a place where that's preached, don't you? I want to be at a place where that's sung, don't you? I want to be at a place where the Bible is followed. And I'm not saying we follow it to every degree and all things. None of us, no church is perfect. Our church is, this little church here is not perfect. But our desire and our design ought to be the best we can following what it says. And where it speaks, we want to speak. And where it's silent, we want to be silent. And we want to say and believe, let God be true and every man a lie. And because of that, I found a treasure here in this world. It's been a treasure. It's worth more than all. If I had all the money in this world, it wouldn't be worth what that means to me. If I had all of the fame and fortune and friends that come with money. And you know, along with money, you get all kinds of friends with money. But as sure as that money goes, isn't it so easy to come, easy to go? And it's one thing about a man, he's like the grass. He grows up, and the Bible says that, and for a while he looks like he really is going to be something, but it's not long what happens. He soon withers and fades away. And when those friends that are with you when you're blossoming are there just because you're blossoming, as soon as the blossoming's over, they're going to be gone too. But I found in the church those near and dear ones, the little Bertha Marshalls, Brother Richards, And I could name just a bunch of them that had been friends that I know in the midst of my biggest mess ups would have loved me just as much as they did before I messed up. And they'd have been loving me enough to correct me. They'd have been loving me enough to tell me to get straight or change my attitude or whatever I needed to do. But they wouldn't stop loving me. They're the friends. Listen, as Jesus has worked the work of grace in the hearts of individuals, he that is least among you is the greatest. And the way up in the church, as the old brother used to preach, is down, and the way down is up. So may we be at the feet of our brethren and looking to the Lord and leaning upon Him. He said, there's a treasure hid in a field, and the which when a man hath found. Now, I'm telling you, when the Lord allows you to see it, and He allows it to open up to you, and you're blessed to see it. And by the way, if you found it, it wasn't you who went hungering for it. If you have the hunger, that came from the Lord. If you have the thirst, that came from the Lord. If you have the eyesight to see it, that came from the Lord. If you have the ear to hear it, that came from the Lord. And the heart to understand those things, it all came from the Lord. So what does the man have to glory in? Not one single thing. That's why the sound and the message of this place ought to be to give God the glory. To God be the glory in all things. There's no place for a plaque to anyone else but to the Lord. All glory and honor and praise belongs to Him. And He says, when a man hath found, he hideth. Now that doesn't mean he hides it in the sense he doesn't want anybody else to see it. It means he values it. He hides it in the sense he treasures it. He sees the value of it. He sees the importance of it. He has an understanding of that. It becomes a desire in his heart, like what we read about again, where David said, one thing have I desired. In other words, if I have anything that I could have in this world, if you count all the riches the world would have, if you count all the wisdom the world would have, if you count all the power the world and might the world might have, what thing did David desire after above everything? That was where he hid it. You see, it became very, very valuable to him. One thing he desired. And that one thing he said, I'll seek after above everything else. That didn't mean he didn't seek after other things. David had a family. Don't you think he loved his family? David lived a life. He had friends, but I want you to know the most important thing to David, he said, is that he may dwell in the house of the Lord, at the place where he could have fellowship with Almighty God and be praising and honoring God. And he says, when did he want to do that? All the days of his life. And why did he want to do it? So he could behold what? The beauty of the Lord. You know what was so beautiful about this dear old brethren when I was 25 years old is that what I could see in them was the beauty of the Lord. And then what is the beauty of the Lord's church today? What is the beauty of your gathering? You may not even understand sometimes why I love it so much. But the reality is, it's because you see the Lord in the Lord's people. You see the reflection of Jesus. You hear from the preaching of the gospel, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You feel the kinship and the love. There's a love that flows between one another. And as much as you love one another, He says, as much as you've done it to one of my brethren, you've done it unto me. What a great blessing that is to be able to gather just for a little while this afternoon and shut the world out, so to speak. We're not hiding away, but we're here to shine as a light in a city set on a hill. But we come away from the world and we gather into this place and our focus becomes on the Lord and everything else fits in the priorities after that. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. And what did He say? He said, all these things shall be added unto you. And they are the daily things that you stand in need of. But He also said this, don't you know the Lord knows that you have need of these things? Doesn't the Lord knows you need to have clothing? And look how great the Lord is. He's the one who clothes the lilies. And doesn't He do a good job? You ever look at flowers? He sure knows how to clothe lilies. If He can clothe lilies, will He not take care of you? He's the one who feeds the sparrows. And sometimes we think, well, I need to eat. I got to do this. Listen, the Lord clothes the lilies and He feeds the sparrows. How good does He feed the sparrows? I'm telling you what. There's not a sparrow that falls that He doesn't know about. And He's more than able to do that. And by the way, even though sometimes we think we're doing it on our own, we might even get the idea, well, I've worked hard for what I've got. There's, as I've said this before, there's a whole lot of people that worked hard and don't have a thing. There's a whole lot of people that worked a whole lot harder than you and I and don't have a thing. What we have has come to us by what? God's grace. Every good thing. And I've seen that treasure. Where that, and that's been taught down through the years. I've heard that taught. I've heard preachers come, some from Alabama, some from California, some from Kentucky, some from different places, and they stood in this pulpit and they taught those things. Where did those things come from? Just from those places? No. They came from a long distance source. They came down from heaven. They came from this word. And some people are using this word and not getting that. How come they got it? Because this treasure was hid in this field and the Lord allowed them to bring it forth. And like a scribe. Look at verse 52 in Matthew 13. It says, "Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." It reminds me of those preachers coming in and bringing forth things, some new, some things not new in the sense they're new to us, but they're not new in the sense it's been the same old truth. But isn't it wonderful when someone comes and teaches you something you just didn't know before? I know that's what, as a young man, that really happened. It still happens a lot. Sometimes I think I got a text all figured out and really know it all. That's when the Lord will send you somebody to show you you didn't know anything like you thought you knew. And at the same time you learn and you grow, He cuts you down a shot. You ever been cut down a shot? In other words, you get cut down, lifted up at the same time. Somebody said, "I don't think I like that." Listen, as a little child of God, there's nothing better than to be able to hear from Him and be taught from the Word of God, and where you learn something you didn't know and you find out you didn't know so much after all. You thought you had it all, but you didn't know so much. And sometimes it comes from those you think the least of, because he that is least among you is the greatest. It's wonderful how God works. He works in such a way that man cannot and should not ever try to share the glory that belongs only to Him. It all belongs to Him. He says, when this man, he hideth, it means he treasures it. And for joy, that's one thing that happens. Now, old Baptist people, when I found them, were some of the happy. Now, that didn't mean they were happy. They were happy. They were happy people. Now, sometimes they didn't look happy because they wept and they cried. But many times they wept and cried because they were so happy. And that's one thing I always have found and appreciated about Old Baptists and the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't hide their feelings. The preachers wept and didn't apologize for weeping. And they smiled and they didn't apologize for smiling. And sometimes they smiled and they wept, and it was all at the same time. And the message that they preached was Jesus Christ and Him crucified to the glory and the honor and the praise of Almighty God. And for joy thereof goeth, and he selleth all that he hath. That means everything else becomes secondary. I hope we're at that place where everything else really has become secondary. The priority is to live in a way to honor and glorify God. I'm telling you, when we get that priority straight in our life, that's what the Lord's called us unto. He didn't say put Him in second place. We're to put Him before everything and anything. All things. We're to love Him before anything else. He gives us love to love one another with. You'll love your family more if you love the Lord first and above all things. You'll be more able to help your family. You'll be more able to lead your family. You'll have the wisdom when you look to the Lord that you need for them. If you look to the world for wisdom, you won't have any wisdom. That's what's wrong with that world now. They've stopped looking to where wisdom is at and gone after a wisdom that is really no wisdom. It's ignorance rather than wisdom. And they're calling things right, wrong, and things wrong, right. And how do we know that? Because the Word of God said so. And it's at this place we come to get a voice of sanity, a voice of truth, a voice of reality. Listen, if I didn't have the church to encourage me on all the bad news that's in this world, if I didn't come get some good news in the Lord's kingdom, I'd just be a depressed person all the time. And if I thought for a moment this world was going to get fixed by the powers and the ability of men, I'd sure be discouraged today. I know that the Lord is in heaven, and And he's on his throne and he rules and reigns. And we have a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. And we look to him for the leadership and the guidance. And yes, we need to be praying for our leaders and for our nation. The Bible teaches us that too, doesn't it? It tells us to pray for those who are in authority. And we're to do that. He said, and he selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. That means to be sold out on the word of God. Brethren, I mean, when it comes down to how we're to live and act and walk and behave, our guide, our directions should come from God's word. When it comes time to preach, we're to do what? Preach the word. We're to be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. When it comes down to test whether what we're doing as a church is correct, where do we go? We go to the Word of God. And when it speaks, we're to speak. And it doesn't matter whether we did this 10 years ago or 100 years ago. What the Bible says is what we're to follow. And that's what our brethren followed in the past. So we don't want to throw away all the traditions that we've learned that are found in God's Word. But if we have picked up a tradition over the years that isn't in God's Word, that one needs to be cast aside, doesn't it? So what is it that we need? We need the Word of God. And if the Lord has blessed you to understand that, He's allowed you to see this treasure that's hid in the field, give Him the praise and the honor and the glory. And what a wonderful thing to be able to come today and preach about a Savior who's truly a Savior. Not a wannabe, not a like to be or try to be, but truly the one who gave His life for His people and paid a sin debt we could not pay. Washed us in His own blood. Has made us fit to live with Him in heaven and immortal glory, and sees fit to communicate with us here in time where we can meet together like this. And He's promised where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's one in our midst. And when you have that, what more do you need? Not a thing. May the Lord bless us and pray for me. You have a mind. God bless you.
Love you, my brother. Thank you for our fellowship in the Lord. Thank the Lord.